since the U.S. State Department and the Joe Biden puppet masters are driving the United States into the escalation of nuclear war with Russia, it looks like an increasingly likely outcome at this point. I've been wanting to kind of share something or explain something to the public about this, that in the event of nuclear war, the nuke is the least of your concerns. That is, I mean, unless you're at ground zero. I mean, if you get hit by the nuke, then you have no concerns because it's over. But for everybody else who's not at ground zero, the nuke itself is the least of their problems. And that's what I want to focus on today. It's not the nuclear detonation in that specific city, let's say, that is the real threat to America as a nation. I mean, let's say that Russia nukes New York City, for example. That's obviously one of the main targets. New York City, Washington, D.C., perhaps Los Angeles because of the ports and so on. There's some pretty obvious, you know, big targets at military bases and Colorado Springs and so on. What would actually happen to America after that detonation is far more devastating and would cause far more economic damage and loss of life than the detonation itself. So we don't even need to focus on the detonation in particular. I mean, you can look it up. You know, there's a fireball and everything burns and temperatures are insane and whatever. A city is destroyed. Okay, but from there, if you lose New York, let's say, you lose banking. You lose the transactional banking system, at least one of the or the core pillar of that system for the entire country. If New York were to be hit by a nuclear weapon, the shutdown, the banks freezing, the loss of transactional infrastructure would be absolutely devastating on a nationwide basis, far worse than anything we saw with 9/11. I don't know if you recall 9/11, 2001, when the Twin Towers got hit, but everything shut down for a few days. And you really couldn't get anything done in America, and everybody was in mourning anyway over the, you know, all the thousands of deaths that happened and so on. But it was a massive shutdown. And yet that shutdown is nothing compared to the shutdown that would be happening after a nuclear strike. So banks would lose transactional capabilities. And see, by the way, as a side note, I think that's exactly what the Biden controllers want. I think they want Russia to nuke America so they have an excuse to carry out their financial currency reset plans that they want to do anyway. But that's kind of a side note. Regardless of whether you believe that, the risk of us being nuked is growing higher each and every day. So if we lose transactional capabilities nationwide, what happens to the rest of America? Even if there's one nuke hitting one city like New York, what happens to the rest of the country? Well, food stamps stop working. Bank accounts stop working. You can't make withdrawals. ATMs stop working. You can't use credit cards. You can't use debit cards. You can't clear checks. So you can't pay for things. Even if you're a business, you can't buy diesel fuel. If you're a transportation company, let's say that you carry groceries, you know, to the grocery stores. You're a big trucking company. You carry food. You deliver it to the grocery stores. You can't buy diesel. You can't pay your drivers. So immediately, the food retailers go empty. Immediately, the food stamps stop working. Immediately, or very quickly, you have riots. You have social chaos. You have mass uprisings, mass lootings. And that then causes the second wave of economic damage and the collapse of the rule of law that has nothing to do directly with the nuke or radiation or radioactive fallout, but rather these secondary effects. Now, in addition to the things I just mentioned, you're also going to lose all air traffic because air traffic would be grounded for many days. So people are going to be stranded all over the country, and you'll lose the ability to have diesel fuel or gasoline for the reasons I just mentioned. No one will be delivering anything. There'll be no transactional capability. So thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands, who knows, will be stranded all across the country because they were on a business trip or they were visiting a family member or a friend or on vacation or what have you. They won't be able to get home. So you're going to have, in essence, you could say not just stranded people, but refugees, sort of economic refugees all over the country. And you're going to have desperate people doing desperate things to try to get home, such as stealing gasoline, stealing diesel, hijacking vehicles, you know, holding up people who have functioning vehicles, you know, whatever it takes for them to try to get down the road a couple hundred miles and get closer to home. So right there, you're going to have a lot of violence and chaos across America. Now, in addition to this, it is my belief that China would coordinate its economic war against America. They would coordinate it with Russia's kinetic attacks on America. In fact, I think that World War III, from America's perspective, is going to be kinetic warfare with Russia in the European theater, Ukraine, etc., and then economic warfare and currency warfare with China on a global scale. But part of that will very likely involve China blocking exports to the United States strategically in order to cut off the U.S. from the Chinese supply chain. Now, if a port like Los Angeles or Long Beach, if the port gets, let's say, nuked, then, you know, all bets are off because you don't even have the capability to unload the containers and unload all the supplies that are coming from China or other Asian countries. So that's why a kinetic attack on a U.S. port is actually an economic attack. It puts the U.S. into a kind of a dark stage of scarcity and corrupted or disrupted supply chains where people can't get the parts to keep the rest of the economy running. Won't be able to keep telecom running, won't be able to keep transportation running, won't be able to keep the power grid running, and so on. And this, you start thinking about the long-term damage from that, not being able to have electricity functioning because you don't have spare parts for substations and the power grid, then the economic damage starts to really mount up into, you know, tens of billions of dollars, perhaps each week, just depending on how severe it is and how long it continues. But that's not even where this ends. At the same time that you're cut off from China's exports of electronics and consumer goods and spare parts for automobiles and electronics and so on, you're also cut off on all medical supplies. So you're not going to get antibiotics from China. And they manufacture something like 80 to 90% of the antibiotics that come into the U.S. You're not going to get gauze. You're not going to get saline solution. You're not going to get drip lines. You're not going to get hypodermic needles. Just everything that is needed in an ER setting, or even for just basic first aid, you know, just your Neosporin antibiotic cream or whatever, you're not going to get any of that, and the hospitals aren't going to get it. It's going to be way worse than anything we saw with COVID, where we had a scarcity of latex gloves and personal protection equipment and, you know, sterile gowns and things like that. It's going to be way worse than that. And yet, that moment will collide with the scenario of mass violence across America's Democrat-run cities. Why? Because, again, people are going to be cut off from fuel and from groceries and from their ATMs. And so these cities are going to erupt into mass violence. And in that violence, you're going to have a lot of injuries. You're going to have people stabbed and shot and beaten and what have you, including, by the way, whatever members of law enforcement are still sticking around in these blue cities. Although many of them will just say, screw this, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not, you know, giving my life for this Democrat-run city that hates cops anyway. You know, they're going to turn in their badge and their gun and go home and pull out an AR-15 and a ballistic vest and protect their families and probably bug out. I mean, the smart ones will, right? That's what's going to happen. So you're going to have virtually no law enforcement remaining in a lot of these blue cities. So you're going to have mayhem and chaos and people bleeding out and emergency rooms completely overrun and a lack of supplies at the same time, right? Nightmare scenario. That's what I'm describing. Again, it starts with a nuke. And then these are the dominoes that begin to fall. And then you fast forward a few more days and you start facing starvation. You start facing a famine desperation. And as you know, we've talked about this before, human psychology changes rather dramatically when people go hungry. So when people go without food for 3 days, you know, they start to panic and freak out. They go without food for 5 days, they all become criminals, you know, would-be criminals. They all will steal, loot, stab, shoot, whatever it takes, you know, to eat. Starvation breaks down the normal social construct of ethical and moral barriers in the minds of people. And everybody in the military knows this, especially, let's say, Navy SEALs and people who are deployed in third world countries or conflict zones. They know exactly what happens when you cut off the food supply to the local people. They lose their minds, and then you have chaos. This is why one of the tasks of even CIA operatives or Navy SEALs or special forces operatives that go into a country, one of their tasks is to make sure that the food supply chain continues to function so that they don't have chaos. Otherwise, then they have a total nightmare on their hands in terms of an unruly local population that will not cooperate with the specific strategic aims of the special forces units who are trying to accomplish something there, like guarding the opium fields or whatever their specific mission is. Now, I could go on with other examples of some of the domino effects of all of this, but the bigger picture here, what I'm trying to get across is, you know, when someone asks you, are you prepared for a nuclear attack, you know, a nuclear detonation? Most people think, oh, radiation. Most people think, well, what about iodine or potassium iodide or, I don't know, having a water filter, what have you. But what you really need to be ready for, especially if you're not in the blast zone, is the total breakdown of the supply chains and the financial system and the rule of law. In other words, preparing for a nuclear attack on America should be viewed as preparing for a global natural disaster. In other words, it's like prepare for a giant comet strike to hit planet Earth. Prepare for there to be no food, no medicine, no rule of law. Prepare for, you know, mayhem, no financial transactions, all these things that we've talked about, no transportation, no fuel, no spare parts. And that lack of spare parts will likely persist for years. This is not an overnight storm. This is something that's going to forever change the future of civilization, the future of our countries, the future of our world, if even one nuke goes off on a major U.S. city. And yet, that's exactly what the State Department is driving us toward. On purpose, I believe. Because the U.S. State Department, which is filled with woke idiots, will not negotiate with Russia. They won't even communicate with Russia in any kind of a rational way. There's not even an attempt to sit down and talk about how do we solve this thing without killing each other. It's very clear that the Biden regime, which is illegitimate, rigged the elections, was installed in office, does not have the consent of the American people. It's clear that the Biden regime and the State Department under Biden are on a suicide mission trying to destroy the United States via proxy by provoking Russia into nuking America. At least that's clear to me. They want to provoke Russia into nuking America. So how would you do that? Oh, you would start sending tanks to Ukraine. You would send HIMARS artillery systems to Ukraine. You would provoke Russia. You would use the CIA to run sabotage operations inside Russian territory. All these things are happening. This is exactly what's happening. It's all designed to provoke. Why? To get America nuked in order to have a cover story for the collapse of the currency and the rolling out of a martial law police state, and to be able to blame and maybe arrest anyone who doesn't support the current regime by saying, oh, they must be pro-Russia. If they're anti-Biden, they must be pro-Russia. Round them up, throw them in prison. We're under a wartime martial law now, you see? That's how it works. So yes, they want America to be nuked. And just as in 9/11, when the Bush regime and the CIA was willing to sacrifice a few thousand Americans and to, frankly, carry out controlled demolition of World Trade Center Building 7, it was brought down with controlled demolition. They were willing to do that. They were willing to stand down the military to allow the 9/11 attack to happen. Just as then, they're willing to sacrifice Americans now in order to shore up their own power. What's changed is that they're willing to make much larger sacrifices of Americans larger numbers, larger economic consequences, more damage. They're willing to sacrifice probably a major American city in order to shore up power and declare an emergency and never let a crisis go to waste. So that's where we are right now. And in order to be prepared for that, it's going to require so much more than being prepared for radiation or fallout or anything like that. You got to be prepared for a planetary scale crisis, a supply chain collapse, a kind of panic and a financial panic that will just crater the stock market. We've never lived through anything like what's coming, I believe. No one living today has lived through this, nor even those who lived through the Great Depression. And those people would very nearly be 100 years old by now. No one has lived through anything like this, like what's coming. It's even difficult for you and I, as much as we are aware and forward-looking, it's difficult for us to imagine what it's going to be like. Imagine the worst possible storm, like a hurricane, has just hit your city and devastated everything, but it's that way for years. It's like a hurricane hits you every day for 3 to 5 years, something like that. That's what it's going to be like. The economic consequences and the social unrest consequences, you know, the collapse of civility, the collapse of basic medicine, the collapse of spare parts for everything. This will have devastating economic consequences. And none of us can stockpile enough stuff to get through all of that without feeling the pain. You can't do it. You lose the world's interconnected just-in-time global system. And you lose the ability to maintain the current population of 8 billion people. So under this scenario, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, would die. I'm talking about a nuclear war scenario. So let us pray that it does not happen. But be prepared in case it does. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. You can check out myself and other hosts at brighteon.tv as well. Thank you for listening. Take care. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.